The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 253. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and today I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
This is...
Brett Murdoch.
Oh, hi, ahoy.
Adam Vale.
Happy birthday, Manny.
Oh, thanks.
And, of course, Mr. Brian Mongioma.
I really hope they never, ever remake Miss Doubtfire.
Oh man, at this day and age, son, should be crazy. By the way, we haven't even started showing. GZR's already throwing bits at us, man. Appreciate it, brother.
Yo, man, the mega bits.
Yeah,
mega bits.
He said, "Rest in peace to Tommy from Karate Kid."
Yeah, that was sick. He died in the show too. I think they knew.
It's funny about that actor is that he's a lot older than he looked in that show. I mean, in the movie.
Oh, really?
Well, he was like a teenager in The Karate Kid, wasn't he?
Yeah, they were all teenagers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was 50 years old.
He was.
He died.
Wait, what? Yeah, no, he had cancer.
That guy died at 50 years old.
Damn.
Right? He's a lot older than I thought he was. I at least thought he was in his mid-40s.
Well, I mean, if he died when he was 50 in mid-40s, that's only 5 years, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, I forgot to do this, on the last show. We got to give a shout out to Mr. Robert Workman and the ARG podcast, who Manny and I were actually on their latest episode. We were talking about the Contras.
Yep. And we also should have a version of that same show for you guys on Throwdown at some point.
Yes. Yeah. We're going to have it up this week, you know. It's going to be the full Throwdown treatment, pretty much, you know, visuals and MP3s and all that. But we want to, you know, obviously, since it's the ARG podcast, they get the exclusives first, you know. Mm-hmm. So we're just pretty much waiting a week and then it'll go up. So sometime this week it'll go up, you know. Fun stuff. I always really like recording those type of podcasts because we're all in the same room together. We don't have to worry about lag or any of that bullshit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's always good. We just have to keep the visual gags down, you know.
Yeah.
All right, man, let's get into it. Questions, man. First up, Mr. Illustrated Dio, who hopefully Manny and I will see at Comic-Con this week, man.
This week?
Yeah. Actually, you know what? Before we get to the question, Manny, give us some Comic-Con stuff. Where are you going to be, man?
So, I will be at table... Let me look at it on my...
You gotta go to your Twitter.
On Artist Alley Table K 37. That's going to be... I'm going to have all the cool stuff there. I'm going to have my Solid Zero Tape Edition, which you can see right here. For those of you who don't see it, I have right there, as well as my Solid Zero Art Book. Some cool prints. I'm going to be sitting right next to my boy, Kai Randolph, which we do the new book by... Skybound Entertainment called Excellence. We are on issue 6. This is coming out really soon. So it's going to be that. And yeah, and I'm going to be doing signings, kissing babies, usual comic book,
titties.
Do you see babies? I've never seen a baby.
Oh, I've seen babies. I've seen babies.
Oh, God. Oh
yeah.
They're
babies.
They're one of the biggest complaints of Comic Cons in general is that people bringing their strollers and essentially blocking up all the aisles.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man. Pretty crazy. Yeah, you shouldn't do that.
I just want to give a quick shout out to a friend of me and Manny's, Ryan Giampoli, I believe that's how you say his name. He's going to be at Comic-Con. He does a lot of really cool Mega Man art, so go check him out at B7, Artist Alley B7. Good guy.
We really need to have an interview with that dude.
Yeah, it's like he does games and he does art, you know?
He drew the Mega Man comic book for Archie for a long time. I think he still does a lot of work for them. So, yeah, cool dude.
Got to get him on. All right, man, let's get into the questions. So anyway, Dio, first up, what are your thoughts on what Rocksteady may be cooking up as their next gaming title? I hope it's not another Batman game. I don't know what Rocksteady's doing, bro.
It's the Batman vs. Ninja Turtles.
Maybe. We don't know.
Because that's been the partnership through all the other mediums. That's was popular with the cartoon, well, with the comics, then with the movie. The movie sold very well. And I know they want to continue it on because then that takes Batman in a different direction. And they enjoy the partnership that they have with Nickelodeon. They've openly said that online in interviews, and they plan on expanding it. Once they said expanding, that tells me video games. And remember, there was a rumor way before the Batman, after Dark Knight. Well, that was it, right? Dark Knight? Is that the one? What was it called? The last Batman that Rocksteady did.
Arkham.
What are they named? Arkham Knight. No. The Arkham Knight one.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had said that there was a, and I saw the same image. I want to see if I could find it, that they were working on a Ninja Turtle one. And then that got debunked. People were like, no, it's something Batman related. So it doesn't, you know, stretch too far off if it was Batman versus Ninja Turtle. So they're both in the same world.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, I think.
And we saw Ninja Turtles and Injustice. So that's the other way of DC linking them together.
I don't really think it's going to be that, because I feel like once you start throwing 1,000 more characters into a video game, it starts to essentially dull it. What are we going to do? Jump from Ninja Turtle to Ninja Turtle to Batman? It doesn't make any sense. But if anything, it could be the bigger rumor is they're working on a serious Superman movie.
That could be. That's
the next big thing.
That's been rumored for a while too.
Yeah.
Well, they're owned by Warner Brothers, so it's I doubt they'll veer too far away from their franchises.
The only disappointing part of it is that Rocksteady can only do, you know, those types of games now because they're owned by Warner Brothers. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd like to see them stretch out and do other games, you know, do their own titles instead of a bunch of things based on other, from just moving properties around, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, you know, can't really say. We don't really know. We don't have any solid evidence here.
Yeah.
Do you remember what other games?
What happened?
Do you remember any other games that Rocksteady did besides the Batman?
That's all I know from them, man.
That's it, right? I mean, this is all they've done.
They had one a long time ago. I think they only have one that wasn't a Batman game. I forgot the name, though. Oh, I'll look it up.
All right, man, let's move on. What other title would you want to see adopt cross-platform multiplayer cross-play like Call of Duty? All right, so go ham. What multiplayer game do you want to see cross-play with? You know, across all consoles.
Monster Hunter.
Ooh, that'd be crazy.
That would definitely expand the gamers on it, right?
Can we just say the answer is just all of them?
All sport games.
All games,
jump all sport games. Then that way, here, how about this? This will make even more sense for sport games. Crossplay, all sport games, that way they can just sell us little $20, $30 update packs as opposed to a full $60 for the same fucking game with an updated roster. There's no point for that shit. And then that way they get longevity because now they don't have to worry about switching the servers and dividing the community. It's all under the same belt. Everybody's all playing together. I think it would make more sense if they did that.
Okay. No, quick insert. The game that Rocksteady did before Batman, Urban Chaos.
That's what it was, Urban Chaos?
That was the game, Urban Chaos. It was like a first-person shooter type of game where you're like Riot Police or something. For PlayStation 2, how do you go from that to Batman? That's a pretty big, you know, deal right there.
I mean, it's got to be something that carried over. Did they have that mechanic, the gameplay mechanic with the sensor and stuff? Something must have triggered for someone to say, you know what? Yeah, make Batman.
I don't know. Well, I mean, they were working with Eidos, so that's what you remember, because the first Batman game, Arkham Asylum, was an Eidos game.
Yeah, but I think for crossplay, we could just say every game should just have it. You know, every multiplayer game.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yep.
All right.
Why not?
Exactly.
And cross save progression.
Yeah, there you go.
This is what we talked about like last year. We like Brett and I were like, hey, like why don't all games have crossplay? Like it should be a thing. Like Sony should allow this to allow us in the future to have all games have this. And look at us now. We are in the future. And Call of Duty has it. Like most games these days that come out, they have it. If they're not Fallout, but yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a real thing next gen. It caught on a lot faster because, again, remember my thing? I was like, yo, why is anybody beefing about this shit? They were only talking about it when it came to
Fortnite. People were beefing about it.
No, but it was only for a couple games, you know?
No, it was on the behind the scenes. They were trying to get it passed, but they were always complaining about it.
you know. But
did you hear the latest rumor? So the whole thing with Call of Duty. So you know the whole bullshit. It's all related to this. It's all related to this. So remember the whole thing about that that 1 year exclusive for survival mode, which is pretty much Horde mode.
Yeah,
with that's only on PS4 and stuff. So the rumor is that Activision had to make that deal with Sony, so that way they can get the crossplay to work. Sony wasn't going to allow them to do the crossplay, so it was like they'll let them do the crossplay if they get something out of it.
Oh wow, that's interesting.
And that's the rumor that it was Sony that said, "All right, we'll give us this mode exclusive, and then you can do crossplay with the other shit." So they had to give something to get something. That's the word. That's what
they got to give something.
That's kind of it, though, right?
It's funny seeing all the Xbox losing their minds when they announced the exclusivity deal with Sony. It's like, hey, you guys do it. The other group can do it too.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
I mean, it's funny because like I think everybody has bird memory when it comes to like console exclusives.
But I think
again, last generation, Microsoft was doing that left and right because they were the top dog. Right,
I think it's not so much of that they're used to it. I think it's the year, because think about it, by the time that gets released, there'll be another Call of Duty out. You know, there's another one in the pipeline now that'll come out for the same time next year. So by the time they say, "Hey, you can play survival mode," people are already moving on and getting ready for the new one. They're already playing the beta for the next Call of Duty. So basically, they're saying it doesn't matter. You're not getting it this gen. To say you're getting it a year is being nice. You know, I think if it was like 6 months or something like that, that would have been okay. Because it's like, all right, whatever, half a year kind of sucks. But hey, it's a deal. We've seen those type of deals. Well, remember last time we saw a game that was a full year off? Wasn't it the Tomb Raider game?
Yeah, it was.
And that sold like shit when it finally came to PS4.
That's right, yeah.
You know, because everybody moved on. They're like, fuck it, I don't care. I seen all the videos. I saw a walkthrough. I don't give a shit no more. And even if they threw in all the DLC and all that stuff, and still, nobody bought it. It's fucking.
That's how it is, man. All right, moving on, Mr. Damian. So,
what's up, Damian?
His first question is, what is the panel's take on Activision's year-long deals? Adam, do you know what he's talking about?
The Activision year-long deal? I think he's talking about this.
Is he?
He's probably talking about that.
Okay. This is the Activision Call of Duty that
deal. I thought he was talking about like sales. Okay, so he's talking about this. No. So yeah, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, he's talking about that. It sucks.
Yeah, it's not cool. I mean, but at the same time, it's like...
Oh, sorry.
You go
first.
No. I'm sure you have something way more important to say than I do.
No. I'll let you go first. Either way.
Nah, it's okay. Go ahead.
Then I'm gonna get fucked this shit. All I'm saying is that the problem is this: is people swinging their big dicks around. That's the problem. And my fear is that let's say this goes back to a cycle like what we saw in the 360, where they were just Microsoft constantly pushing all this money exclusive. Remember, we saw it with Gay Tony and all that stuff from Rockstar. We don't want to go back to that. That's the one thing with Phil from, you know, Uncle Phil from Xbox now saying he doesn't want to do it. He could do it. They got the money. They fucking do that shit too. He says he doesn't want to do it. So if he doesn't do it, that's fine. But let's say push comes to shove and he says, you know what? I'm going to be a prick. I'm going to do it. He can do it. And we don't want to see that again, because then it divides things up. We see that happening with TV and all these networks being gobbled up and shit. We see that with all these subscriptions and games being put behind another subscription paywall. We don't need to start seeing all this content being divided up. All right, now I definitely need this fucking game on this console because they're going to have all this exclusive. Could be a year, could be two, could be fucking forever. We don't know. Look at the whole thing with Street Fighter coming when PlayStation put the money up the front or whatever they did to pay for it, and that never came over to Xbox. There's people that like Street Fighter on there. You know, I got the controller thanks to Chris. I can't play Street Fighter V on this shit because it's not there. You know, that sucks, and that game should be for everyone.
Yeah.
Wait, you can't play Street Fighter where?
Street Fighter Xbox. V. You can't play on Xbox. Yes, that's only for PS4.
And PC,
I forgot about that.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Brian, go ahead, bro.
Oh, pretty much the same thing as Adam. Like, it sucks. Like, there's nothing but screw over gamers. Like, it doesn't really...
Just say what Adam said, but with a better accent.
Yeah, there you go.
Say it more eloquently, like you, your people do.
It just screws over gamers, and it's just stupid. Like, it's nothing but a ploy just to screw over gamers. Like, they easily could have just said, okay, make it 3 months or 1 month or something, you know, and fine. Okay, but a year? Like, that's just ridiculous. Like, it is just pure ridiculousness. Like, if what Adam is saying is true, in that they did that because they wanted, or because that's the terms for crossplay, then that just shows that Sony's even more of a dick than we thought. Because, like, any company that is, like, withholding features like that for ransom, pretty much, like, it's just a pure dick company. I'm sorry to say that, but that's the truth.
Well, Manny was talking about...
If Microsoft did that, I'd say the same thing. If Valve did that, I'd say the same thing. Because it's a pure dick move.
Yeah, because it's not even just DLC. It's a mode. It's an actual mode. You know, it's like, fuck.
Like, really? Like, so you're going to, like, chop off, like, part of the game and say that, hey, this is the part of the game that we get. Everyone else can go fuck yourself unless you're on an owl platform. That just shows that they really don't care about gamers. They care about themselves more.
Well, maybe they care about their gamers more. But like Manny mentioned, like the consumers, a lot of consumers have bird brains and then don't remember shit. The executives and the people that run the shit have
bird brains.
Well, yeah, you know, this is tomato, tomato. The executives are the exact opposite. They hold grudges for fucking decades, man.
Mm-hmm.
And Sony remembers the shit that Microsoft did last gen. You know. They're just doing the same thing. For me, I didn't
then,
have any.
That makes them equally as petty then.
Like, yeah. Oh yeah,
petty as petty Microsoft.
This is a petty business.
Shit.
Oh, I do not doubt that this is pettiness. But hey, man, if I'm in their shoes and I get the chance to, you know, like be the big dog and you know reciprocate the shit that they did to me the last gen, then I would do it.
Yeah, that exactly.
But we see that everywhere. We see all the stuff with Epic Borderlands 3 going to be a year before it shows up on Steam and all that other crap. So. It sucks.
Yeah, it sucks, but that's how it is, man.
Speak with your wallet, man. Wait, real quick, because this is all linked to this. On the side of an Xbox fanboy friend of mine who was like, yo, fuck, I'm not getting it. I canceled my sub and this and this and this and that. Now, this guy has a PS4.
Mm-hmm.
And he has friends like me and other people on it. So I'm like, what does it get? He's a big Call of Duty guy. He plays all of them. He doesn't care about Chivos, okay? That's the other thing. He doesn't care about Chivos, just likes playing games. So I'm like, yo, you could still get it on the PS4. Go to Redbox, and if you don't want to give them the money, rent the shit, and then you can still play. No, it's out of principle. I'm like, that's bullshit. I can understand, you know, being pissed if that's your only console. But if you're fortunate enough to have both, then you really shouldn't be bitching. Because you're like, yeah, that sucks. It sucks. But you're not the one that has to go and shell out money to get another console to play that game. You already have the console. Put it to use. Play this shit. You want to play it. You know you want to play it. You've been hyped all the way, getting all the outfits and the betas, and then now you find this shit out, and now you say you're going to block it because principal whole thing. You don't really have to do that. You're not in that situation to do it. And I see a lot of these people doing the same shit. They're bitching about it, but at the same time, they admit that they have the other console. So then why are you doing this to yourself?
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Brian, your favorite question of the night, bro. Get ready. You guys talk about not getting an Xbox but getting a PC. But before we even go on with the question, we've never said that. We said that, you know, we've said that that's a good option if you can afford it. You know, that we didn't say that here. You're putting shit in our mouths again, you know. Anyway, can any of you build a gaming PC from nothing for $500? If you can do it step by step with all legit parts and a legal copy of Windows 10, 12 gigs of GDDR5, RAM, and a 1 terabyte HD motherboard casing, I tried. Even with a sale on the parts, it's over $1,500. My point is, an Xbox One X with Game Pass is currently the best value in gaming. We said this last week. You cannot build a good gaming PC for that little money. You can't do. You could build a gaming PC, not
didn't
a good
one. Did I ask
one,
that
you know?
Question last week?
Yeah, you did. You know, but Damien wants to know, man.
Yeah,
and Damien didn't listen when we said it's like you can't do it. It cannot be done. You could build a gaming PC for $7, sure. Not a good one, you know.
Yeah, it won't be, but exactly.
Not a good one. So you, Damien, you know, were you skipping to it? No, you cannot.
His point.
Yeah, go ahead.
His point. Can you? You can't build an equivalent gaming PC for the price.
No, you can't do it.
I mean, some of the parts I don't think you can even get.
Yeah, that is true because they're customized. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
But no.
You can get some cheap used parts on eBay, you know, but there's no guarantee with any of this shit anyway if it's used.
Yeah, Brian, get in here, bro.
So, I understand the crux of his question, and I have two answers. One answer he's going to like, but he's not going to like the reasoning why.
Uh-oh.
And the other answer he's going to hate because it's the truth. So, answer one. Can you buy an equivalent PC as Xbox One for $500? Answer is flat out no. And the reasoning is simple. You cannot buy GDDR5 RAM. It's mm-hmm. not available. You can buy DDR4 RAM, but not GDDR5 RAM. You cannot buy that because that stuff is only for graphics cards. So on a technicality, the answer is no, you cannot. And the other answer that he's going to hate is it doesn't matter the spec of the PC. It's going to be better either way. Because if you look at the costs, consoles have a very low entry, but they bleed you dry throughout the years. Because you're playing how many for multiplayer every year? Well, like $40, $50, $60, I don't know.
Yeah, $60 if you do that. Yeah, Game Pass, Xbox.
You pay for, what, 3 years? That's 180. You pay for 4 years, that's $240 extra. Then that initial 500 can become 750 within 4 years. And that's only for multiplayer. If you add games on top of that, then you're paying more. So overall, if you look at the investment over a certain time, there will be a point where buying an expensive-ass PC will be cheaper in the long run than buying a Xbox One X. That's math. You know, you can't argue with numbers. Like, there will be a point where it's cheaper having a PC than is having an Xbox. Because, again, PC guys don't pay for Xbox Live. You get, like 4 free games from Epic Game Store every single month. Like, 4 games free. And this is, like, legit free. Not like you have to pay for the service free. It's, like, legit just download the thing, give your details to China, and it's yours for free. So if you want to play that game, then yeah. Yes, you cannot get a PC equivalent to Xbox One X for $500. But you know what? For $500 or $600, you can get yourself a PC and be happier either way. Because all those games come to PC anyway, so who cares?
I think that's the mic drop right there, people.
Oh, and you can also program on your PC and watch dual stuff. Word edit.
Write a book. Word,
yeah. Write a book, you know, create a video, stream on YouTube. On
mm-hmm. You can actually make games.
Quit your job, make YouTube videos.
Do unboxing videos.
Do unboxing videos,
mm-hmm. ASMR. I was wondering why his question was so specific with, like, the amount of RAM, the type of RAM.
No, he was just trying to say, oh, you know, this is the best deal. A PC, you can't get this for less than $500.
But like he set the bar really weird. It's like saying, well, I can't buy a Lamborghini Murcielago for $35,000 like a Honda Civic, you know? But can you compare those two?
Yeah, you know? That's true.
I think his thing comes from the fact that people are saying that there's no point of getting an Xbox. You might as well just get a PC because all the exclusives are coming on PC. I think that's where that's
coming from. Oh, yeah, that's definitely where it came from.
Yeah, but then the entry points are different.
Yeah, like, and as Brian just pointed out, it kind of is a better deal to get a PC in the long run.
But the thing about it is it's like, I think the part of it that is the scary part of it is that because you have to make that really high initial investment.
Yes.
And when you say that to somebody, they'd be like, fuck no, I ain't doing that shit. I ain't buying $1,000 PC. So in the short run,
$500.
It's like $500, yeah, $600, right?
No, it's $500.
Oh, so $599, it's $499?
Yeah.
The Pro? Or
the X.
Yeah. Some places it's even cheaper.
So, I mean, yeah, so, like, you have a $500 console, and then it's the most powerful console out there, but, yeah, and then you have your little Game Pass thing, but, yeah, in the long run, you end up spending more money on those subscription services than you do, after the fact, if you made that initial $1,000 investment on a really, really good PC.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's more of an investment. Like, let's say if you only had $1,000 and it's mm-hmm. either pick a PC or a console, go with a PC. It does a lot more. We just explained it. There's a lot more you can mm-hmm. get out of it. So if that was your only choice, then yeah, go with a PC. You can do, like we said, make videos and do schoolwork and other more productive things you can do with it as opposed to just gaming.
A game console does obviously one thing. It plays games.
Yeah.
Or maybe you can watch TV.
Yeah, and that's the main reason why many years ago people thought that the consoles were just going to die out, because it was just, you know, singular. It was like, this is all you can do. This is what's going to happen. But no, people like that. So,
yeah, man, dedicated system, you know.
It's the last of the single serving, because think about phones. They're all smartphones now. Before, they just made calls, maybe some texts. Not anymore.
Yeah. All right, man, let's move on. G Mega Force, a 1, a 2, a 3. So his first question is, this is kind of an open-ended question. Do you think people expect too much when it comes to gaming? Take that how you will.
Depends on the audience. The people that are into Nintendo don't, because obviously they don't give a shit about getting these fucking ports that look like shit. They're like, fuck it, it's portable. You know, think about it. What were we here talking about?
It's portable, motherfucker.
4K and 8K and blowing your mind. And they're like, yo, we can barely get 720p in handheld, and we're loving this game. Loving it. You know what I mean? We see it, and then people, and the numbers don't lie. People buy this shit.
Yeah, man.
So,
in the end, it's really not, again, it's not really about power ever. It's not.
Nope. No.
It's more about the games. And if it just so happens to be the most powerful console that exists that has the most games on it, people are going to go jump toward the one that has the more games on it and the more games that people want to play. You know, I feel like in this generation, it just so happened to be that the PlayStation 4 was the most powerful console, and it was also the cheapest at the same time, and it had most of the games that people wanted to play. So,
yeah.
I'm looking up Cuphead sales numbers. I'm curious to find out if it sold more on the Switch than it did on the Xbox.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Yeah, no, you're right about that. This generation was a little bit weird, because usually the most powerful system is not the one that sells the most, you know?
No. I mean, like the last generation, we talk about it all the damn time.
The Wii.
It was a Wii.
The Wii one.
The Wii was the one that really... Like, everybody wants to think it's the PlayStation 3, but no, it was the Wii. The weakest console out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think there's a vocal minority that screams about teraflops and all that stuff, but the numbers don't support that. Look at the Switch, you know, like you said, the Wii, like, the numbers don't support that. Most people just buy whatever. They were happy with Wii Sports. They fucking bought one game.
Yeah, and that's the thing that killed that console, is because because of the casual market was so rampant on this thing, and they were just fine playing the game that came with it. They weren't interested in buying any of the other games.
Yeah, this probably, you know, like, this guy's screaming for, like, you know, FPS is like Call of Duty and whatever, and they're drooling over Call of Duty. I see as many people screaming for Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
That game looks the same as it did fucking 15 years ago. It looks the same shit.
Mm-hmm.
Nintendo fans are special, man. That's all that is.
Yeah, man, they faint. Man, they shit. Faint. Oh,
yeah. By the way, not to go off too off topic, but, there was somebody that I follow on Twitter. They said that there are no fans as passionate as PlayStation fans. He got destroyed by the Nintendo community, man. He got murdered. I'm like, and I even had to go, I'm like, bro, you don't have PlayStation guys fainting in the aisles over Last of Us 2 announcements, bro. You know, pissing themselves and shit. You know, yeah, Nintendo fans are something else, man. PlayStation
fans like spontaneously combusting when the new Days Gone trailer came out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but meanwhile, you have one Smash Brothers thing. You have dudes, you know, fainting in the Nintendo store, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or crying during E3 when an adult Link gets shown, you know? Nintendo fans are special, bro. You know,
update. It looks like Cuphead. It says here sold 4 million units. Yeah, so I'm trying to find out if
distribution.
Across all of them. Yeah, they're hiding that shit. So I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, who else wants to tackle this? Again, you can take it wherever you want. Do you think people expect too much when it comes to gaming?
It's a difficult question to answer, because who's relative. What do you call it? Expectations are we measuring? Are we measuring our own? Are we measuring? Because what's the populace's overall expectations for gaming?
Yeah.
Like, what do they expect? You know, like, I don't know. Maybe, yeah, maybe we can get specific on things. Like, do people expect a lot more out of our first person shooters than we should? Or, like, our JRPGs? I don't know. It's, I guess the question is too
broad. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think so. But again, I'm always the contrarian. So.
Uh-oh.
Surprise.
Go ahead, Brett.
Mary, Mary, quite contrary.
I mean, I would think
that.
Damn Harry.
That was a different.
Oh,
that was a different.
God damn it! Let Brett speak. I'm going to slap you, people.
This is supposed to be a family show, you people.
Yeah, right.
No, wait a minute. No, it's not.
Oh, yeah.
God damn, I lost it. You people just knocked it right out of me.
We were talking about people expecting too much from games.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think overall the general gaming community is a little too demanding. You know, it's we often collectively, if you listen to the gaming community as a whole, we sound like psychopathic needy children. We want a game out now. We don't want it delayed, but we don't want it to have any day one patches. We don't want to pay any more money for it.
Hey, Brett?
We're resistant. Yes.
Can I interject with the most obvious question of all?
Yeah, go for it.
Are you saying this because most of the games that you've enjoyed in the past couple of years have been panned by the mass?
No.
The masses?
I'm saying this specifically because there have been several occasions where people have disliked a game because it didn't have a feature that they thought should be included.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't get angry at a drawing of Superman because it doesn't have Batman in it. That's just being irrational. And I've heard that enough to think that as a whole, we probably are a little demanding because we do that kind of stuff all the time.
Yeah, you're right. That's how I feel about Batman v Superman, but I digress.
I'm gonna, you know, sorry, Brad, you're another contrarian. I agree with you. Like, for example, I'm gonna use Death Stranding as an example. Dudes want every single little bit of details. Like, you don't want mystery with your shit, man. Really, you're demanding all this shit. Come on, guys. You know, back in the day, I'm gonna be an old man right now. Back in the day, we used to get hyped over a paragraph about a game. You know, that was it. That was all we needed back in the day. You know, now dudes need to watch like 20 hours of streams to even consider it. You know.
Nah,
Death Stranding is different. Like,
how's it different?
That dude don't tell you shit about the game. Like, he says that, oh, it's a whole new genre of game. Okay,
well, we know that's bullshit. We know that's bullshit.
There's nothing. Yeah. It's like, so what is it then? Like we keep asking, like, okay, what do you do in the game? Like, what's the thing you like?
You're connecting the country. Like, remember, they said that already.
I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
It's a post-apocalyptic game where you're like trying to, you know, bring America back together. You know, like, hey, that's all you really need. You know, I'll find out the rest when I play it.
Not the gameplay.
Yeah, but don't you think that, Tony, that there'd be a faster way to solve all this if games just went back to the old format of releasing a demo? You know,
that
if they just
nice.
Released the demos like they used to, then we wouldn't have all these questions because people could just fucking go and play whatever 10, 20-minute demo.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that. Whatever happened at demos, by the way? That, you know,
they stopped because demos would play a game and realize the game sucked.
Yeah, no,
demos take too long to develop.
Manny's right about
when you go to E3, don't you play these games?
Yeah, and you know how long it takes to make those fucking things? Developers hate those things, man. No,
but they still do E3s. They still do E3s. And I remember
doing a demo takes a lot out of actual development of the original game because they have to create all these different things that lock down the game. How many times have you heard a demo disc literally accidentally had most of the game inside of it?
Yeah.
There were a lot of them.
But the whole point is that the demo is there to help your sales. If your game is good, or you're not sure if it's good and you know it's good, but people aren't sure, then you get it out there. If you're already making one for E3, and that was the one thing I loved about Xbox Live, is that when they first announced that we were going to have the whole online experience, like, all right, fine. And he said, oh, guess what? All the games at E3 that are available that have demos are going to be on Xbox Live for gold members right there. Boom. That was great because then I could play the same shit that people were playing on the floor and know if I'm going to get hyped or not for it.
Not every game was usually
on. No, that's what they said. Whatever was available, they put on there. But that's the thing. And then for a long time, Xbox and Microsoft, they made it a point that, remember, it had to be HD games on there, and they had to have a playable demo. They wanted people to have a playable demo. But then you hit some games up.
The thing is that doing demos takes a lot of actual development of the real game. And that's why most studios don't do it. Or they do a demo after they have completed the full game. They've completed actually making the game. A couple of companies did that. Like maybe a month or two later after the game had already released, they released the demo.
Well, now we see them hiding it under the beta and alpha and testing version. Alpha. They put any other title around it because they're scared to just say it's a demo because then people think it's the final version. You know, but we see that with the Breakpoint. We see that with Call of Duty. Just yeah, say it's a demo. It's pretty much it. This is it. This is the game. This is what we're getting. You're telling us this is what we're getting. So let's play it.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on.
Yeah. To piggyback real quick off of Adam. These companies have no issues releasing demos and betas and alphas and test drives for people to do because, you know, they're scared of the facade of saying that this is a subset of a finished product that we're releasing to the masses, and they're open to be judged.
So can you say that we still are getting demos? They just taken a new form.
Yeah, not all of them do it though. Yeah, that's the thing. Not all of them do it, but some of the big ones are doing it. Like I said,
they mostly do it to test out the online capabilities.
Yeah.
In general.
It's not usually like
if they did it with Death Stranding ever came out, they probably call it a demo and not a beta.
Didn't we get a Last of Us demo? I could have swore I played a Last of Us demo, and it wasn't the multiplayer.
No, I don't remember that.
If you did play a Last of Us demo, I'm gonna bet that it was developed after the game had already been released, because that's usually the point when they do it.
I think they had a demo with some game, right? I think like bundled in with Infamous or something like that.
It was something. I remember playing the demo. I'm like, holy shit!
Well, if anybody in the chat knows, let us know, man.
Ascension, I think it was. The demo for Last of Us, because I remember it was bundled in with a game that I didn't want to buy to try out the demo for it.
Remember when they used to do that?
I think it was Ascension.
Yeah, Halo and Crackdown.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway, I want to move on. We got more questions. All right. Next up, what are some games that would have been better with a female protagonist? Interesting question.
None of them. Burnout. There we go. Burnout Paradise.
Burnout Paradise.
I say Burnout Paradise because you don't play as male or female. You play as a damn car. Yeah. Seeing a female run around and crash into cars would mean better. There you go. There's your answer.
I don't know. I mean, because to be honest, it's more like form fits the function.
Yeah.
You
know, yeah.
If it depends on the story that you're trying to tell, yeah, you pick the protagonist that fits best.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Manny's answer on this one.
I mean, if Tomb Raider, in Bizarro World, if Tomb Raider was with a guy.
You mean Uncharted?
Yeah, a guy, Dude Raider, right?
Yeah, Dude Raider.
I play most of my games as a female.
Yeah.
Like, when you can character create, I like sculpting badass females and then watching them kick ass. Like, it's just. Same reason I love Tank Girl. Like, so yeah, if I get a chance to like build one, I'm like, ah, cool.
For me, it doesn't really matter who the protagonist is.
Yeah,
I mean, is it male or female? It's like, all right, cool. We're, you know, because it's not me. I don't see. I don't know how other people think about games, but I don't think about the character in the game as being me.
I've come to think that's mostly a not exclusively, but mostly an artist thing, and I think it's because. People who draw, like, they think like, oh, I'm making this creation, and like you think of it like, oh, I'm making a creation and then I'm playing through a world with it, kind of like a puppet. It's not me. A lot of people do like have trouble conceptualizing that. They're like, but you're playing as it. Like, well, yeah.
No, you're right about that, because I always did find it weird. I'm like, that thing on screen is not me. That's just a thing I'm controlling. But most people, they do like kind of personalize it, which is very strange. But that's actually the majority of people, from what I understand. Like, they want the character to look like them and shit, you know? I don't get it. I'm like, why? Like, to me, that's the struggle. Like, I'm not like, no, that's not me. That's something else, you know? That's weird, you know? Mm-hmm. But I've only
actually made myself in one game, and that was Metal Gear 5. But that was a specific reason I did that.
Yeah.
I did it in Home. PlayStation Home. It's a dumb house. That's the only time I ever did it, you know? Because that was me, because that actually was me. So I'm like, okay, me makes sense. You know,
so here's a question for.
But having a big fat motherfucker running around Monster Hunter, man, that's gonna kill the whole immersion. You know, fuck out of here, man.
So, So here's a good question for all you guys out there. How many of you guys have PlayStation Home trophies?
Yeah. You know?
Because they did it put in trophy support right at the end.
Oh, God. I didn't even realize that.
I would rather have a little person, like Big Man Plant, if anybody ever read that by Eric Powell and Tim Weish. I think that was the way he spelled his last name. Big Man Plant. It was about a little person who was in the war and how he would sneak around and infiltrate manholes and stuff like that. And it's nuts. It's a different perspective. And we always see these games that come out where you play a little kid and how spooky it is. Well, what if you're a little person in a first-person view in the big world?
By the way, are we saying little person to be PC right now?
I don't know. I think that's just a term. I don't think they call them midgets. I think midget's a different type.
I'm like, are you talking about a hobbit? Like, what are we talking about?
No, not a hobbit. There's
no such thing as hobbits.
There's no such thing. Yeah, it's the little persons. Remember, there was a show called Little People. So I
just want to know, is that the name we're going with now, Little People?
I don't know. I just know that's what they call themselves. I don't know. Because midget is something completely different.
You can't say that anymore. You can't say that anymore.
Yeah.
So you can't say dwarf because dwarves are like mythical creatures.
A great comic series is a Big Man Plant, and that's what it's about. And I think that would be awesome in like a Call of Duty, something that perspective of like being put in a war, and this is why they used him in war, because he could maneuver around and he can hide and take cover and do all these little things and sneak through holes.
So you want to play as a little person in the game then?
Exactly. And a lot of these games, I think, as opposed to male or female, who cares? That's boring. Been there, done that. You know, let's go a different route.
Ah, but what about the gender of the little person though, man?
Who cares? Boy, girl, he, she, I don't give a shit. You know, it's like I just want a little person that can navigate around. Who knows? They could do something goofy and like, oh, look, have him dress up as a kid. I'm like, oh, look at this little kid. Go home, kid. And then next, you know, he's cutting Achilles. He's chopping up people's and hiding under the bed and shit. That'd be nuts.
You're crazy, I agree with Adam here. Like, it doesn't matter like who it is. Like him, her, they, whatever. You know?
God.
I remember it was a.
I'll better stop here before I get in trouble.
That's it.
Jesus, man. All right, let's move on. All Day Digital, what's going on, brother? Oh, Adam, this one's for you, man.
Oh, sure.
Why is Ghost Recon Breakpoint turning into the Division 2? Will it ever return to form?
No. Because they're like, shit, we got all these assets from this other one, and this seems to be doing well, so let's just go in that direction. I want to see more. When it comes out, I'm expecting more of what everyone kept wanting. We wanted the A-Team. We wanted more of that craziness, and it doesn't feel like they're going in that direction, at least from what we played with the demo and the beta, the test shit, whatever they want to call it. It doesn't feel that way. Feels like they're going in a different direction and more in the Division world. It's like, God, that's not what this is supposed to be about, though. The whole thing of Ghost Recon is you get your squad and you do some crazy ass fucking missions. And again, a helicopter, you get shot down, you jump out, you parachute, you team up, you get on motorbikes and stuff. But it just it doesn't feel like that. It doesn't feel as frantic like the first one did. So let's just hope. Let's just hope that there's a different start point and things get a little better.
A different start point to break point.
Yeah, the break point. It's not going to happen.
All right.
I mean, we saw they changed the fact that you can now have NPC buddies because they took that shit out. And it wasn't, and the people freaked out. And that's when she came out on stage during E3 and she said, all right, we're putting it back. Because not everybody has three other friends.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Where are we? Okay, next question about Mr. All Digitals. What video game, this is funny, what video game demo lied to you? Be honest. All right, so what game demo lied to you? Go ahead, Brian. Mr. Brian.
Why me first?
Oh, because I heard you saying something.
No, that's Manny.
Oh, really? Okay.
But I mean, we sort of answered this already, the fact that we don't get the demos. Yeah.
No. Which one lied to you, though, when we did have demos back in the day? Like, you know, either good or bad.
Back in the day. Oh,
you know what? What lied? Killzone 2 lied.
Oh. That lied to, yeah, that lied to everybody.
Yeah, that was night and day. It was bullshit. That demo sucked. That game was good.
You know what? On that same thing, I did not like the demo for Dead Space. I thought the demo sucked. The game is fucking brilliant, you know? And also on the same vein, I forget the name of this game. Torrance likes this game. It's Nolan North was the main character. You're flying around with a jetpack, right? Demo was fucking awesome.
Dark Void.
Huh? Dark Void, right? Demo Dark was Void. Awesome. Game was trash.
The one with the hacker dude by Ubisoft that have a franchise out of
Watch Dogs?
Watch Dogs.
They had a demo for that shit?
No, I'm just saying from the tech demo.
Oh, we're talking about demos.
That was,
playing,
but that was still a demo. They were playing it on stage. Remember, they said they were. That were did not they? Play like that. Yeah. That's what they said.
Were they playing
it? They were full of it.
They showed a dude. He said he was playing it, and they were like, this is actually
he said he was playing it.
Yeah, they were full of it.
And it said gameplay at the bottom. They put the message, and when that game came out, did not look anything like that.
No, Adam's right. They were playing it on like the new console, DLC player.
Oh man. All right, so what are their demos like to you guys, either good or bad?
I just don't remember demos.
Yeah, I don't remember the demos. We used to have demos, man. What are you talking about?
Damn,
I mean, it's rare when I ever played a demo. I mean, like I remember more demos being on PS than anything.
Yeah, no, our PS3 had a bunch of them. I remember downloading those all the time, you know?
Yeah, that was the best way, especially if you're on the fence about something, and it's like everyone's like, oh, back and forth. Oh, we like it, we don't like it, we like it. It's like, oh, fuck, let me try it out myself. Now you can't do that. Now you got to rely on all these shitty reviews, Reddit posts, YouTubers. Nah, man.
Influencers,
unless you
son.
Shall...
Hmm? Influencers, son.
See, oh, yeah, that's right. Influencers, brainwashers.
Right. I got one more.
Go ahead.
One more. The Metal Gear Solid 2 demo lied to me. I'm like, who the fuck is this blonde dude, man? What the fuck? Who's this ain't Snake? This is shit.
Snake?
He lied in the trailer because in the trailer it gave the impression that Snake was in the whole game.
Yeah, exactly, man. You play that tanker. I played that demo over and over again. That shit was awesome. And then I get the real game. I'm like, who's this guy? Well, he's got a girlfriend.
Yeah, what?
Girlfriend, man. Give me Snake back.
I remember Manny played that game, like, I'm going to quote you, Manny, left, right, and crooked, trying to find, like, the version of the game where you play a snake the entire time. You never found it.
Nope. I thought if you beat the game a certain way, and, like, it showed it in the trailer. That's what it did.
Yo, that was like us trying to unlock Shenlong back in the day in Street Fighter.
Yeah, right.
Oh, God. All right, man.
So we have that to look forward to for Death Stranding.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, imagine that. Imagine the whole game's going to be Silent Hills, you know?
Oh, shit.
You find out that it's not even Norman Reedus that you're playing in the game.
Yeah, right.
It was Jeff Keighley the whole time.
You play as Robert De Niro, man.
No, I could see that happening. That all that stuff that we see with Norman Reedus and all that, that's like 20 hours into the game. That's later on. Yeah. You know, there's a whole
I still think he's trolling us. He's trolling us hard right now, man. It is going to be Robert De Niro. Remember, he took a picture with him, man. If he took a picture with you, that means you're going to be in the game.
Is that what they say now?
That's how it works with Kojima, man.
Shit, what if none of this is in the game?
Yeah, what if the game doesn't exist?
What? No, it comes out, but it's completely different.
It could be. This is Kojima we're talking about.
Yeah, man. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. This could be completely different. But I do think that what we're seeing is nothing related to the beginning. I think that's like 10, 15 hours.
Probably,
that's later on when you switch. You're playing as a different character. We haven't seen any of that shit.
Well, first you need to apply for the UPS job. Then you have to train. And then you deliver your packages, you know?
Train on a forklift and all that stuff?
Yeah, you have to build up, man.
Yo, they did in red then.
You know? All right, what the fuck are we? GZDR. With all the crap about The Last of Us 2 not having multiplayer at launch, would you be okay with developers releasing games in two parts for $30 each, a single player, multiplayer? So for those of you who don't give a crap about multiplayer, can enjoy single player at a low price. Oh, we kind of answered this in previous episodes.
Yeah, long time ago. They'll never do it.
They're not going to do it. It's not going to happen. Yeah, not going to happen.
But you know what? I think we're being swindled. I believe this is that weird jump period where they were like, all right, they're giving us the spiel about, oh, well, we want to focus more. Bullshit. You're going to have this version. You want everybody to go buy it. And then when PS5 comes out, I'm like, hey, this is the ultimate edition. And that way they can get you to double dip. And that version will come with multiplayer. That's what they're going to fucking do. They're going to try to swindle so they can get everybody to double dip.
oh yeah, PS5 version is going to be quote unquote.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're gonna say, oh, it's a complete. And guess what? Now do you have all the DLC and other bullshit, but it's gonna have multiplayer. You know, and then that way they can get everybody to go and shell out another $60 for it.
Yeah, so, I definitely see that happening. All right, so yeah, again, we've answered this before, so I don't remember if there was a consensus. There probably wasn't. This is a throwdown. We don't have consensus around
here. But we know they're not going to do it. We know
it's
that
not, it's not going to happen.
It doesn't make money, though.
Yeah, there's no such thing with a consensus with bread around.
Oh.
They don't want to divide up their audience like that.
Try.
No idea that shit. Oh, man.
You know, I remember a while ago, EA sent out this survey. It was maybe 2 or 3 years ago. It was like, what's the most popular mode of FIFA when you play FIFA? And it was like 80-something percent was Ultimate Team. All right, so then right there, then just have your own special version of just Ultimate Team. Sell it for $30, whatever, because that's when with all the microtransactions, buying packs and stuff. But they won't do it because they know that 80-some percent will still shell out $60 for the full damn game just to play one mode. That's it. That's why they took out the story mode in this version, because they were like, no one's playing the shit. So why hire actors, voice actors, do the animations for all that stuff with the faces and sceneries, and no one's playing the shit, so...
Is a nobody gave us, and it's a sports game. Nobody gives a shit about the story.
Yeah, that's it. No one cares. That's it. They just want to
gamble. Why is there a single player story mode in a friggin' soccer game? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
They do it in all of them. All of them do it. It's always the same thing. You're an up and comer, you know, trying to make it. They did it in a basketball game.
About that. People care if the team is in the game and if the roster stays similar.
You know, but we never get the real version. I want to have a drug problem. I want all that.
My player is really popular. Like in 2K, like you get to start like your whole career as yourself. Speaking of games that you can model based off yourself, like you build a model and then you do your, I guess you do your likeness to it and shit, and then you get to start from scratch to get to pro player. A lot of people do that.
Interesting. All right. And unless we get any more, the last question of the night, people. By the way, at first this doesn't sound like a gaming question, but it actually is. Mattel recently released a gender-neutral doll that allows your child to style the hair and clothes as a male or female. Would you want this introduced into every game we play to keep up with the times? For instance, create custom Kratos to be male or female, custom create Master Chief. I'm not answering this fucking question.
Why do people care so much? Who gives a shit?
The characters should be done however the creators want them to be.
There you go. You know, I like that answer.
That's it. Yeah. Why do we have to want to modify everything?
It's not. Oh, go ahead. My bad.
No, if we've already talked about how, you know, we don't really care about what we're picking, then who cares of what the creator wants? If they want us to be like the Witcher or some white guy with gray hair, you know, premature gray hair, then fuck it. That's what we're going to play as. That's the choice. Why should we bitch about that? This is their vision. It's the same thing with movies and stuff. Why is John Wick a guy and it's not Jane Wick? Who fucking cares? This is the character we have. Do you like it? Yeah, like, then enjoy. Suck it up. It's fun.
Yeah, what people need to understand is the consumers are not the ones making the games, and most of the games, not all of them, but most of the games like are works of art. You know, people make it because they're trying to tell a story. They're trying to, you know, do a narrative, and that's what they're.
That's it. Their vision.
Storytellers don't give a shit about your gender biases. They're trying to tell a fucking story from the perspective of an individual who is handcrafted, and you're supposed to try and see the story from their point of view. The fact that you want to jam your narrative into every fucking story just shows what a goddamn Philistine you are, because you can't understand the idea of putting yourself in somebody else's position to learn a lesson. That's the whole fucking point of literature. It's one of the main things that has connected humankind. Reach back into the back of your fucking brain and just try and live in somebody else's shoes for one goddamn minute. You may learn something from actually being in somebody else's perspective, which is the shit that most people are preaching right now, including the people wanting these change. So just sit back and let a creator fucking tell you a story about a character they've made. And if you want to see more inclusive storytelling, that's fine. We can have stories about strong female black women raising 3 kids. I don't care, as long as the story is good. But you know what? I'm not going to get in that story and be like, well, why can't it be a strong male you know, strong young father trying to raise three kids on his own, because it's a fucking story. I'm going to put my feet or myself in the shoes of the person living the story. Quit trying to ruin art with your fucking retardation. You're ruining things. Just let people tell stories. I'm done.
It's like, look up John DiMaggio, who does the voice for Marcus Fenix, and he was doing a Q&A, and somebody stood up and said, oh, what's the sexual preference of the female character? Who gives a shit? That's what he said. He's, who gives a shit? What does it matter? It has nothing to do with the story. We don't have to kill shit and not fucking have sex. Like, why do you care? Go get a life.
If he went off, he went off on him.
He said, go fucking get a life.
There must have been backlash because of that, I imagine.
No, people, when they started cheering, they were clapping, going nuts.
I'm talking about, you know, certain publications, you know.
Oh, well, that was because there's no point. That's not part of it. There's no sexual
thing. That's not the story that they're trying to tell.
Exactly. That's not exactly. So to say, oh, what's her preference? Who cares? This is not a love story. There's nothing here for that. It's just all about her trying to say.
Yeah, the question should be like, what's her preference in guns, you know?
Exactly. It's like, yeah, what's her favorite gun? What does she want? Who does she want to kill first? What is she? No, something store related. And he just sat down and he stood quiet. And stuff. And he was like, yo, man, there's no point for this. I'm going to find that for you. It's on YouTube.
I do think that a lot of people want to have agency over stories. And make their own stories. I think the Mattel toy is an interesting idea. Essentially, giving children the option to choose whether they want a male doll or a female doll.
I think you should have
when it comes to trying to tell a specific story. When we're talking about an artist that's actually putting out these, you know, director or whatever. So questions shouldn't really those. You don't need to ask those sorts of questions. If this is the story that they want to tell, if they wanted to, again, like what Brett said, if you want to tell a story about you know, a game story or a comic about a single black female who has a bunch of children, then it's that. That's what the story is. Why I wouldn't want to change that story and just all of a sudden change the vision of what the artist is, or the artist or director is trying, a writer is trying to tell. I think when we leave, obviously, the one thing about games is that there's, you know, certain games that have give you a lot more agency over your own story. You know, in other words, okay, now you do have this open world, and now you can create any character. You can be you, or you can be something else. And I think those are two different things.
GZDR is actually in the chat, and he says he brings up Cyberpunk, which is actually a really good example of this. Cyberpunk 2077 is doing it. They said gender neutral characters. The name is V, and you can customize that person as a male or female. They're like modular and stuff. Yeah, so Cyberpunk is doing it, you know, to some
extent. Cyberpunk is leaving a wide enough space for any type of character to exist in there.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Gender, you know, they're letting you choose what gender you want to. They're also letting you choose what your character wants to look like. So you can be a male character that looks female, which is fine. But the thing is that the game doesn't depend on that. Yeah, like, in other words,
the point of the game is customization. Like, exactly. I want to make it very clear, you know, to put on top of my previous rant. If this is a game where, like, in the vein of Mattel, where, like, if you're crafting a character and that character is essentially a doll or an avatar or whatever, you should have access to male and female avatars on either gender. Like, it does actually kind of bother me when I'm like, God damn it, like, there's a sweet mohawk on a guy, but I can't put it on a fucking female because for some reason it's gender locked to male. Like, that's stupid. And you should have options for, like, yeah, if you want to put lipstick on a dude, put lipstick on a dude. You should have options for pretty much both genders across both gender spectrums. And if you want to kind of make an androgynous character, sure, you can put a slider in there and everything like that. Like, the more options, the better in character creation, especially if you're trying to represent you. You should be able to represent either you or any character you create. And this is where I get a little arty about it. Like, yeah, of course, I want more options as character creators. Like, I want to make all kinds of interesting characters. Like, I like drawing, and this is like a weird digital version of sculpting. There's a reason that I try and make, you know, a certain type of character or a replica of the same character through many games. Tony's watched me try character after character after character until I finally get it right. There's a certain fun in it, like, you know, sketching a pinup. And I think that the more options, the better, because fuck, maybe I want to play as a robot. Maybe I want to play as a fucking dragon. Maybe I want to play as Fem Shep to get a different perspective on the game, as well as regular Shepard. And maybe Fem Shep should be regular, and you should have other Shepard there. Like, but playing both of them, you get kind of different tones of the story and different reactions, and you can play them in different directions. Like, my Fem Shep is always like a complete renegade dick, and it's fantastic. So, like, yeah, I'm down with options, especially, you know, keeping it back more on topic of, you know, Mattel toy, like a doll that you create. Like, of course, yeah, sure. And why should hairstyles be gender locked? That's fucking stupid. Especially when allowing people to create things. I was like saying, you can make stuff, but only stuff that I deem fit.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, take it all away. Put a fucking helmet and take away all the voices. That's
or,
it.
Or just put a helmet.
Everyone wears a fucking helmet and there's no voices. That's it. You ruin it for everybody.
Or you just make your game completely in first person and make all the cinemas first person.
That's it.
Like the Prodigy video, remember?
No, I'm specifically making fun of Cyberpunk. It's like they let you do all this shit. You can't even look at your character in the game.
That's also one thing too. It's like you don't even like, yeah, you go through all these hours of trying to make your character look that way, and the only time you ever get to see it is during a cinematic.
No, but even this, I said all the cinematics are in first person
and in mirrors
and in mirrors and in mirrors. Yeah. Wow. All right.
So it's like
it's the only time that you see you is in a mirror.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, so like if you bother to put down a cool shirt.
No, Brian, I see myself all the time, man.
You put on a cool shirt.
I'm looking at myself right now.
You put on a cool shirt or a crazy looking thing, and you can't even look down and look at the shirt.
Yeah, you're just like a floating something, you know?
Yeah, like the way most first person games are, right? Where you look down and you just see the floor.
By the way,
you're a floating camera with arms. Yeah, exactly.
By the way, we don't know if Cyberpunk is one of those games. I'll give it props if you can at least look down, like, hey, look, I got boobs, you know? That would be cool. I always give props to first playing games when you see the feet and legs. I'm like, you know, like everything. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, they actually have limbs, you know?
The last Call of Duty, not this one.
Call of Duty. World War II,
they introduced, they had these little keychains dangling off your gun, and that pissed me off. Like, who wants a little fucking dangly keychain on a gun? You know, and I get that trying to come up with customization options and things that they could sell you. Yeah, that you could see, you know. So it's like, all right, you got your outfit, and you could see the gloves. So it's like it's part of the outfit, and then of course the camo is the only thing that makes sense for the gun. But to put little dangly keychains now, I don't want that fucking shit.
Now you'll take that shit off.
Decal keychains.
Yeah, I had a little fully clover for St. Patty's Day. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Who puts this on their gun?
What's going on, Sketch?
What's up, Sketch?
He goes, dressing up in games is like life. You dress for others, not yourself. Okay.
That's true. But yeah, what if the game is like a cyberpunk game where you're not in a multiplayer world.
Yeah.
You're dressing up for nobody.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because you're right. Even in Destiny, it's like, yeah, outside of the hub, obviously, it's like, okay, you can't look at yourself, but you know other people are looking at your shit. It's like rims in a car, right? You don't see the rims when you're driving. It's for other motherfuckers,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's for the
4 minutes that it takes to you to get inside of your little car.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, man, it was a hot. All right, time to go.
The only time that ever came into play where I'm like, wow, this is awesome, is when you're playing one of these WWE 2K games online, tag team mode or single player, and seeing the custom created characters people make. There was this one tag team I played against where the two guys were huge fat guys and just little speedos with paper bags over their heads that were super hairy chests and their back hair and stuff. This was hilarious. I don't remember their name, but they were freaking hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, and no separate things. That's when it's fun to watch. But yeah, like, but in these first persons, it don't matter.
Exactly. Like, you think about it, it's like, yeah, you like in a WWE game, yeah, of course, because you're making a total wrestler that everybody can see. Now, mm-hmm. what if that thing was only in first, what if the wrestling game was only in first person mode?
Yeah.
I wouldn't care. I just care about the moves I can do.
By the way, Sketch brings up a good point. Like, you also dress up for some NPCs. Some games are like that. If you dress really nice, the NPCs will treat you differently, you know?
Well, that seems to be a Grand Theft Auto. Always seemed like a Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, that was a Grand Theft Auto. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's
the people actually did say, like, whether, we're walking around, they actually did say whether you looked like crap or you looked good.
Shit, there was a mission. Remember when you had to get into, like, the Facebook place, the Life Invader? You had to dress up like some...
That's right.
You had to go buy clothes and shit to get in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, Brett, Saints Row games let you pick mix and match parts however you feel fit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, it's funny because it's funny that how, like, it seems like the Cyberpunk guys are, like, kind of patting themselves on the back for creating a
character. And other games of doing
a little, a little bit, you think so?
Yeah. They're patting themselves on the back. Where in Saints Row, where you can literally do the same damn thing, you could literally change your gender or whatever you look like at any time you want.
Yeah, there are no gender neutral, no gender locked mohawks in that game. Everybody gets a mohawk.
Yeah, you can sound like Nolan North and look like Heather Haley, the voice of Femme Shep.
I thought you were going to say Heather Locklear. I'm like, man, that's taking it back. Who the fuck is Heather Locklear? These old motherfuckers talking about old shows. Didn't she go out with Nikki Six?
Yeah. No, with
Mick Mars. No, with Tommy Lee.
No, right? Tommy Lee. She was a Tommy Lee before, he got with Pam.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, man.
I'm sure people don't know who Pam is
either. They probably don't. Not anymore. Anyway, yeah, we're done here. So, Comic-Con is this week. Manny and I are going to be there. Manny, where you? Yeah, tell them your stuff. Pimp your shit.
Yo. So I'm going to be at Artist Alley Table K37. So, yeah, I'm going to be there with Kari Randolph, and we're going to have two times. We're going to, during the Comic-Con, probably on Thursday or Friday, it's still being decided. We're going to be having a full team excellence signing with our writer, Brendan Thomas, Kari Randolph, myself, and our letterer.
Oh.
So, yep. Yeah. So it's going to be the whole gang on the thing there, and obviously at the there don't forget because I have pick up excellence. We got all kinds of cool excellent swag. I designed a shirt and a pin. Also, if you're a big Coheed and Cambria fan, I have this little baby right here, which is the collected edition of Amory Wars, which I worked on right before Excellence. This is a really cool thing. It's the fully collected edition. Super thick. It's almost as thick as a dictionary, hardbound. We're going to be having that at the Evil Ink table. And if you feel so inclined and you have a copy of Contra Road Core, I'll sign that up for you if you come by my table. So all good. Also have some sketches and do all kinds of stuff. So hope to see you guys there.
Yeah, just a little bit of clarification here, Manny. GZR says, since Manny is with Skybound Entertainment, is he selling the Walking Dead comic books?
No, I do not sell any Walking Dead comic books. You have to go to the Skybound booth to get the Walking Dead comics.
Yeah, man, he's only selling shit he worked on, bro.
I only sell stuff that I worked on, so that's Excellence and maybe Tech Jack. But to be honest, we don't usually have any of our books at our table most of the time, because obviously since Skybound is in the same convention, we want to send you to them more than just to pick the same thing up from us, right? So, yeah, a lot of times we just don't do that. We'll just have maybe some small things that you can only get, at our table as opposed to them. But for the most part, you can get all the books at the Skybound booth. And obviously, since we're going to be doing signings, you can always get us a little sign too. So, yeah, good stuff. Going to be fun.
Yeah, I'll be there, on the show floor, probably not as much as I used to be. If you catch me, you catch me. If not, not. What happened?
One thing to know is that I'm a stationary point. If you are looking, if you want to bump into Tony, because Tony tends to drop by the table, pretty often. So if you want to catch Tony, and you'll probably find him, most likely find him easier right at our table.
Yeah, for sure. Also, for Throwdown, I originally was going to, you know, I originally asked Carlos if he wanted to host the show on Thursday. I'll do it. I'll be here. Comic-Con is not like E3, you know what I'm saying? Like, I make my own time, so I'll be here hosting the show. Manny probably won't be, so I'll bring a replacement for you, Manny. Maybe Richard.
If anything, I'll just pop in for like a couple of minutes or so, just to, you know, just to see that, you know, just say what's up and, you know, give a little bit of a first day report, which is on Thursday, which is like preview night for the day or whatever you want to call it. Yeah, so I can pop in for that, but I probably can't do the whole show because I got to be up bright and early for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah, man, Sunday. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, that's going to do it for us. So thank you for watching and listening. Leave us questions in the Throwdown Discord server, and we'll answer them on next week's show. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Twitter, and the Facebooks at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco, tonight joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later, guys. Also, a quick little announcement for next week. There is a good chance for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday that I might be posting our Contra, the Contra drawing that I did for Geek.com. I have about 2 or 3 hours of footage, and I might just do that. We'll see. I'll give you a little bit more of an update as to whether that's going to be next week or the following.
Cool. Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Yo, everyone, you can catch me not at Comic-Con next week, so... Jesus.
Not a Shake Shack either.
We've imported Carlos, and we've also imported Brett.
You know, right, man? That'll be awesome.
Hopefully, we could get them in before the show's over.
Yes, we'll get Brett there one day, Mr. Brett Murdoch.
One day.
Adam Vale.
Man, if you're a YouTuber and an influencer, and you're doing a channel by yourself, stop saying we. I hate that shit. And they're like, oh, yeah, we appreciate it. It's you, sucker. It's just you.
Yo, I got I'm keep my mouth shut right now.
What are you, the queen? We.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, DJ Chan. He goes, thank you for the stream. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Thank you.
You know, and of course, Mr. Brian Manjoma.
I love how people say that the plan's going to die. It's like, you guys don't know anything about history, do you?
Wait, who's going to die?
Wait, what happened?
The planet is going to die. It's like, the planet's not going to die.
Planet ain't dying, man. Five billion years from now, our planet's going to die. We may die, but the planet ain't going anywhere anytime soon, man. Planet'll be all right. You know?
At least in our lifetime.
Yeah.
Whatever happens after, it doesn't matter.
Barry, shut up. Hold on. I'm calling out Barry Byrne right now. He every fucking year with this shit. I'm not going to Comic Con. I'm going to see you on Thursday at Comic Con, son. Get out of here. Every year with this shit.
He's like, motherfucker, I'll see you in the press room.
You know, you'll be there, man.
Barry's from New York, but where from New York is he?
Where's he from? Brooklyn or something? Where the fuck are you from, Barry?
He says he's from Raccoon City, by the way.
Okay, yeah, well. Barry, I'm looking forward to seeing you, man. Surly motherfucker.
Yo, Barry, you need to hit us up when I go to New York, man.
Yeah, man, for real. All right, that'll be next week.
Yeah, I mean,
we'll meet you at Shake Shack, man.
Yo, man.
Yeah, he is from Brooklyn. I got it right the first time. He's from Brooklyn. There you go. Brooklyn's. All right. See you, man. Peace out.
Later, guys.
Deuces.